From the dangerous shade of puce which suffused the Grand Inquisitor's heavy face, Ducairne thought for a moment that he'd gone too far anyway. There had always been a dangerous attack dog, some had even very quietly used the term mad dog, edge to Jaspar Clinton, and the man had demonstrated his utter ruthlessness often enough. It was entirely possible that he might decide his best tactic in this instance lay in using the power of his office to turn upon the other members of the group of four and transform them into his own scapegoats.
"No, Robert," a fourth voice said, preempting any response Clinton might have been about to make. "It doesn't make what you've just said untrue, but it does tend to put our problem rather into perspective, doesn't it?"
Zamsin Trinair had an angular face, a neatly trimmed beard, and deep, intelligent eyes. He was also the only other member of the group of four whose personal power base was probably as strong as Clinton's. As Chancellor of the Council of Vicars, it was Trinair who truly formulated the policies which he then slipped into the mouth of Grand Vicar Eric XVII. In theory, that actually made him more powerful than Clinton, but his power was primarily political. It was an often indirect sort of power, one which was most effective applied gradually over the course of time, whereas Clinton commanded the loyalty of the Inquisition and the swords of the Order of Schuler. Now, as Ducairne and Clinton both turned to look at him, Trinair shrugged.
"Jaspar, I agree with you that what we've seen in the past few 5 days, and even more what's contained in these—" He reached out and tapped the parchment documents which had occasioned this particular meeting, "certainly constitute heresy. But Robert has a point. Heretics or not, they've destroyed, not defeated Jaspar, destroyed what was, for all intents and purposes, the combined strength of every other navy of Safehold. At this moment, there's nothing we can do to attack them directly."
Maguire stirred angrily, straightening in his chair, but Trinair pinned him with a single, cold stare.
"If you know of any existing naval force which could possibly face the Carisian naval in battle, Elaine, I suggest you tell us about it now," he said in a chill, precise tone.
Maguire flushed angrily, but he also looked away. He was well aware that his fellows regarded him with a certain contempt, even though they were normally careful about showing it. The truth was that it was his position as the commander of the church's armed forces, and certainly not his inherent brilliance, which made him a member of the group of four. He'd enjoyed his chance to take center stage when it came to coordinating the attack on Karras, precisely because it had finally allowed him to seize the limelight and assert his equality among them. But things hadn't worked out quite as well as he'd planned. Trinair watched him coolly for a handful of seconds, then returned his attention to Clinton.
"There are those on the Council, as I'm sure we're all well aware, who are going to seek any opportunity to break our control, and Stainer's open letter to the Grand Vicar hasn't exactly done anything to strengthen our position, has it? Some of those enemies of ours are already whispering that the current unfortunate situation is entirely the result of our own precipitous action."
"The Inquisition knows how to deal with anyone who seeks to undermine the authority and unity of the Council of Vicars in the face of such a monumental threat to the soul of every living child of God."
Clinton's voice was colder than a Zion winter, and the zealotry which was so much a part of his complex, often self-contradictory personality glittered in his eyes.
"I don't doubt it," Trinair replied. "But if it comes to that, then we may well find ourselves replicating this schism within the Council itself. I submit to you that any such consequence would scarcely be in the best interests of the Church, or of our ability to deal with the heresy in question, or of our own long-term survival," he very carefully did not add aloud,
although all of his companions heard it anyway.